Adam Gray with Cyclone Fanatic. When it's time to purchase or refinance your home, call Gershon Mortgage. My family and I recently used Gershon Mortgage when purchasing a new house, and I couldn't be happier with their service. Gershon's knowledge, experience, unmatched service, and low rates will make a positive difference for you as it has for over three generations. Call 515-964-5952 or visit GershonIA.com. Gershon Mortgage, 1200 Southwest Street, Suite 2C, Ankeny, Iowa. They're an equal housing lender, NMLS number 138063.
Visit Phillips Floors at their huge new 10,000 square foot Ankeny showroom located at 6263 Northeast Industry Drive, just a couple of minutes west of I-35 on the Corporate Woods exit, or just a few minutes north of I-80 on the Northeast 14th Street exit. Or visit us on the web at www.phillipsfloors.com. Phillips Floors, we stand behind what you stand on.
Hey guys, Chris Williams here. When I'm out and about covering the Cyclones, I often get asked about the sweet gear that we have at Cyclone Fanatic. People want to buy it. And let me tell you where we get that gear. Wheeze Tees. Yeah. Anytime I'm looking to get any of our Cyclone Fanatic gear embroidered, a new hat, anything like that, we give them a call. They hook us up. Shirts, jackets, koozies, signs. Wheeze Tees can do it all. Cyclone Fanatic has been using Wheeze Tees for years now. There's nobody else I would trust with our brand, so why wouldn't you? Give them a call at 515-257-7191 or stop by at 306 South Ankeny Boulevard.
Don't let an injury keep you out of the game. Trust the McFarland Orthopedic Surgeons and Sports Medicine Professionals who care for area high school and collegiate athletes. McFarland Clinic physicians Buck, Greenwald, and Warmy are board certified and fellowship trained in providing the latest surgical and rehab treatment for sports-related injuries. Call 515-239-4475 for more information.
Cyclone Fanatics, the job world is a competitive place, and at all times you need to dress for success. This is exactly why you should stop into Mr. B Clothing down at 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive and see my buddy Tim Sitzman. Now, Mr. B Clothing is a longtime supporter of CycloneFanatic.com, but is also unmatched when it comes to the men's clothing game in Des Moines. The Mr. B staff is friendly, fun, they're very knowledgeable, and trust me, these guys will get you looking good for that next job. Job interview, wedding, or just your everyday wardrobe. When you stop into Mr. B Clothing, be sure to tell them thank you for supporting CycloneFanatic.com.
Every growing season presents new challenges. That's why AgriGold has developed one of the most diverse genetic lineups in the industry. We categorize our hybrids into families, each with its own genetic characteristics and environmental tolerances. This gives AgriGold farmers a simple way to diversify their genetics and manage risk, ensuring they'll be rewarded come harvest no matter what the season throws at them. When it comes to higher yields, no one knows corn like we do. For more information, visit AgriGold.com. At AgriGold, we know corn. It's time for the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show live from Benchwarmers in Ankeny. Here's your host, Chris Williams, alongside Brent Bloom and Jared Stansberry.
All right, guys, welcome to tonight's Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show. We're here at Benchwarmers in Ankeny, the new and improved Benchwarmers. It's like they've got like 400 TVs is what it seems like around here. They shut down for a few days over the holidays and completely renovated this place. It's fantastic. Come on out. I'm a big fan of the pizza here. We've got great burgers. Come on out and join us. A lot of great games on the docket tonight.
You won't miss a minute of the action of Belmont and Moorhead State. It's on it. I mean, it's on at least five TVs right here.
They have so many TVs that they have two dedicated to
Jared,
Belmont and Moorhead State.
You're supposed to be encouraging people to come out.
No, I'm dead serious. It's going to be a good game. Belmont's a good team.
This Notre Dame-Miami game is going to be good. It's on up there.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's on over there.
That'll be a
it's
nice game. Four and a half point Miami favorite.
RPI ramifications for
the
Iowa State.
Darn right.
You want Miami to win as much as possible.
Amen. That's is that Iowa State's best win?
Last night would be now.
Okay.
But that's number two.
Welcome to the program. A lot to get to. Well, of course, we're going to hit hard on Iowa State's win over Oklahoma State. I'm jacked up about it. Iowa State at TCU. Iowa State got a football commitment today on the defensive line. Jared's already talked to the young man, and we'll get his thoughts on that. But first, let's start things off with the Cyclone Fanatic Battle Royale. Are you guys ready to go?
Jump in.
I'm ready.
Bloom, because you've been a lifelong Iowa State fan, you've been kicked in the ball. I don't know if I can say that. The junk a lot over your – you get a free point today.
Thank you. For enduring pain.
So this first question goes to you.
Thank you, Sean.
And then Jared can analyze as well. So you're down 0 on hold, Jared. Last night, Monte Morris, 36, 5, 4, and 0 was his line. You put up a thread on Cyclone Fanatic right after the game where you are dissecting if that was the best game ever by an Iowa State point guard. What have you come to the conclusion of?
It's in the conversation. And if you go through, and now granted, my Iowa State tenure goes back to about 1992. Okay, I was born in 84, I was 8 years old. And Ron Bayless had a couple of nice games in the 90s, nowhere near Monte Morris. But I think it really picks up Jamal Tinsley, who that's your first go-to for any Iowa State fan. Go, okay, that guy had some great games, and he did. I mean, he had a triple-double against Missouri, his first ever Big 12 game, 11, 11, and 11, which is a great line. And then against UCLA, Tinsley had 14, 11, 9, and 5 steals in the Sweet 16, which is a crazy line. But he did have 5 turnovers and was only 4 of 12 from the floor. That would have been my go-to if you just asked me off the top of my head. But if you look at some of the performances recently, DeAndre Kane was unbelievable. The numbers that guy put up, he may have had the most underappreciated year of any Iowa State player, because keep in mind, Melvin Edgem won the Big 12 Player of the Year that year.
Exactly.
And so you kind of forget how good DeAndre was. But against North Carolina, remember that was the game without George.
Yeah.
He had 24, 10 rebounds, 7 assists in the game-winning shot against North Carolina. That's pretty impressive from a point guard. He did have 7 turnovers in that game. Against Baylor, 30 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists, 5 steals,
okay,
but 6 turnovers. I think that's in the conversation.
Yep.
But from a pure efficiency standpoint, Monte's really close. Got to throw a bone to my guy Eric Heft. Eric Heft has the Iowa State record, 16 assists against Nebraska, 1974. Has to be in the conversation. However, my guy Eric Heft played no defense. He played zero defense. Like, Eric did one guard, and they lost in triple overtime to Nebraska. You do not lose on the road at Nebraska in triple overtime, E. So you got your 16 assists, probably made some shots, but got to play defense, Eric, and not going to get the job done. But I think this Monte Morris line, the line itself is amazing. The fact no turnovers, but the couple shots he hit, down 5, he hits the 2 straight threes to give Iowa State the lead, and then all the free throws late. Man, it was impressive. I think him, Kane, and Tinsley are all right there. And also throwing Curtis Stinson on the road at number 2 Kansas, 29 points, 7 rebounds, 4 steals, 1 assist, 2 turnovers, and the game-winning shots against the Jayhawks. That's pretty good, too. So I think there's probably 5 or 6 candidates, but Monte's right up there.
Jared, what was your take on not only Monte, but my takeaway from the whole game last night? There were a bunch of them, but that starting lineup of 5 seniors, like the Iowa State's biggest critics all year have been the ones going, well, you've got all these seniors, you shouldn't be struggling, et cetera. Well, those guys had 91 of the 96 points last night. And that's how you went on the road, is through senior leadership.
Yeah, definitely. And, there's just some situations that they got into where it seemed like Oklahoma State was starting to maybe get a little bit of something rolling, and then you'd see Matt Thomas step up and hit a big three, or Naz would be able to get to the rim and get and make a shot. Or there was a play where Daryl Bowie got into the lane and got an and one and then was able to make the free throw, and that kind of came at a big point in the game. And when you look at Monte's line, I mean, he had a 178 offensive rating in that game. So, I mean, I don't know how that would rank, like, nationally of the best games that anybody's had this season, but it's got to be up there as one of the better ones that anybody's had. And if he's going to play like that, I mean, it's going to be tough for anybody to beat Iowa State, especially when you get, 19 points from Matt Thomas, you get 12 points from Deontay Burton, and it's just, you look at the balance that Iowa State had. Yeah, Monte scored 30, but at the same time, there's still 4 or 5 other guys that are in double figures.
And it wasn't as if Monte's playing against some slappy, another point guard.
That's an NBA player.
Juwan Evans is considered a better pro prospect than Monte is by everybody.
Absolutely.
So, and he held him to, 12 points on, 4 of 13? I mean, Monte did it on both ends. It was just an all-world performance. And he's been taking, I think, a little heat from Iowa State fans just because the offense has stagnated at times, and you thought that he'd come in and just be George Niang, and he's just not that type of player. But he had another gear last night that I didn't know if he had in him for him to carry the team from really the 10-minute mark of the second half on, and that was an All-American type performance, and that's the best he's ever played.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree. And I I have to say that Oklahoma State, I mean, they didn't do that much during the game. Yeah, Jeff Carroll played pretty well at times, but they didn't do very much that really impressed me. They get loose with the ball a lot of the times, and there were some situations where I don't even think – I mean, Iowa State forced turnovers, but at the same time it was kind of unforced where they're dribbling into traffic and stuff like that. And I think that's – I mean, you saw Monte get some situations where he had Juwan Evans backed all the way up to the half-court line almost with their pressure defense. And if he can play that like that on offense and then come down to the defensive end and just be a gnat like that, I think that – watching Donovan Jackson has, I mean, it might have inspired him to become even a better defender because he's been really good here these last couple games against some of these point guards.
Yeah, and Iowa State's defense as a whole, not great last night. You know, Oklahoma State shot it pretty well, but way too many easy layups. But this is kind of the style they're going to now,
yeah,
where they're trying to force more turnovers, and they did early. And they're going to give up some looks now. They're undersized, so it's going to happen. Defense maybe a half step back, but I thought as a whole, I mean, that's to win down there is impressive. I think Oklahoma State, even though they're 0-4, that's a really good win. I mean, this is the same Oklahoma State team, guys, that beat Georgetown by 25, that beat Wichita State by 15 points. They had a really good non-conference. I'm not sure what has happened to them. Their defense has gone in the tank in a bad way. This Big 12 play has started. I think they're going to get it back. This is a Oklahoma State team that I believe still wins 7 or 8 games in conference. Yeah. I think this is going to be a good win.
I don't know if you heard Ross and I talking about it, and I mean, I said the same thing, Brent, that the start of their schedule is insane.
Right.
In the Big 12.
The Big 12.
And it will ease up. I still think that they're, I don't know, an eighth place team in the league.
Maybe better than that. Yeah, I think they're.
I don't think they're seventh because I think the Big 12 will get 7 teams, and I don't think they're going to be a tournament.
See, here's the deal. If they win 8, they'll be right on the line because they did not have a bad loss in the non-conference. And they had a couple really nice wins. So I think they would, depending on, again, when you start looking at bubble stuff, and Oklahoma State's a team that's going to be on the bubble, your non-conference wins are important, and then see what everybody else does. There's lately, it seems like the past couple years since they've added a couple more teams to get in, those bubble teams usually aren't very strong.
No.
And so an 8-10 in the Big 12, it's the number one league, might be in the conversation to get in. But that's a good Oklahoma State team. That's a really nice win for Iowa State and a huge confidence boost because up until this point, Iowa State's best win was Miami on a neutral floor, and that's about it. But this really solidifies them as, I think, a top half team in the Big 12 and now back in the conversation to get in the top 25.
Before we get on to point number two, Jared, you did a little bit of reporting on TCU today, and that TCU team keeps impressing me. I mean, they pick up the road win at Texas last night. I think Texas is having some issues. They just suspended Mac indefinitely today, but, you know, what's the point spread in that? I mean, I thought Iowa State would be favored by like 3 or 4, but I don't know now. That's going to be really close to a pick, and that game is anything but a game that you can pencil in for Iowa State.
Yeah, TCU's 2 losses in conference, at home to Kansas by 6, and they went on the road and in a close game for a while against West Virginia, and then West Virginia took it to them the final 5 minutes. They ended up winning by 10 or 11 points. They're just solid. I mean, they don't do anything great. Brad Ziansky has been pretty good, the big guy. And then Jalen Fisher, you guys probably remember that name from that was one of Steve Prohm's first targets when he got the Iowa State job. He committed originally to UNLV and then decommitted when Jamie Dixon got the job to TCU. And he's been pretty good. He had 4 threes last night and is a good shooter. They don't play a lot of the same guys that they did last year. So it's an improved team. I still don't know if they're up in that, you know, level with – Oklahoma State and K-State, even though Oklahoma State, again, hasn't won a game yet. But this is, I think it's a pick 'em. I do. I mean, it's tough to win on the road. Iowa State's won there a couple times in a row now, but I think this one will be a dogfight.
Yeah, KenPom has it as a 1-point TCU win at 45%. Okay. So, I mean, it's pretty
That's
pretty
exactly
much
what the Oklahoma State game was, really.
Yeah.
Except I think Iowa State had like a 41% at that one,
yeah,
I think, plus
something
of a
like
chance.
That. I think the thing that Iowa State's going to match up well with TCU is, yeah, they've got some good guards, but they're also young. I mean, they've got a handful of freshmen. I think they might have one sophomore that really works in there. And I watched a little bit of their game against West Virginia on Saturday, and they had so much trouble against that West Virginia press and against that pressure defense. So unless they're able to change something that from what they did in Morgantown, obviously it's tough to go to Morgantown and play against West Virginia, but I really think that Iowa State's going to be able to create a lot of turnovers, and we've seen that when they can create those turnovers and get out and get those easy baskets, you know, those first few minutes of the game last night when they got out to a 14-4 lead before the under 16 timeout, they can really get rolling. And once they get rolling, that ball starts rolling downhill fast.
But this is not in the past 4 years TCU. This is a this is a better team. This is, I mean, past couple years, obviously, it's gone in there, double-digit favorites, expected to win. This is a little bit different. This will be a tight game, a pick-em type game, and you know, it's not a tough place to play necessarily, but they've been better. They've got more talents, and I think they're a program in the next couple years, and maybe even this year, will be fighting for the NCAA tournament.
Trent Johnson left the cupboard stocked for Jamie Dixon. It's all Trent Johnson.
Yeah, good job, Trent.
All right, so Bloom leads Jared 1-0 here in the Cyclone Fanatic Battle Royal. Jared, we'll give you first crack at question number two. So this is Iowa State's points per game so far this year. Monte Morris at 15.9, Naz Mitre-Long at 15.5, and then Deontay Burton down at 12.9. Who finishes the season as Iowa State's leading scorer?
I think it's going to be Monte. We talked to him today at availability, or even I think this might have even been last night on the Cyclone radio network after the game, and he talked about a conversation that he'd had with some of his teammates that, you know, they've started demanding from him that he has to be on the attack at all times, and he has to kind of be the driving force for this team if they're going to really be successful throughout this season. So I think that we're going to see last night's Monte, where he's really trying to get to the rim hard. He's really doing what he can to find his shots. And then if he's going to continue to knock down three-pointers at the rate that he has over here over the last couple games, that scoring average is going to continue to go up and up. And I think that that is what a lot of people expected to see from him early on in the season. But he had to kind of flow into that role a little
bit.
He never really had to play a role like that in his first three seasons, so I think he's starting to adjust to that role. I think his teammates have gotten into his head, and they've gotten it through to him that he has to be on the attack at all times, and that's the version of Monte we're going to see going forward. So I think it is going to be him, and I wouldn't be surprised if that points per game average gets up even to 17 or 18 by the time the season's over.
Bloom, your rebuttal.
Well, let me ask you guys, who leads Iowa State in shot attempts right now in the season? Give me the top three.
It's Deontay's number one.
Nope. Monte's number one. Deontay's number two, okay. And Naz is number three. But I'm surprised, actually, that Burton's number two, because he's averaging 25 minutes a game, which is far less than really anybody else, and he's put up roughly
shoots.
They're all about even. Monte shot 192 times, Burton's 182, Naz is 178. I'll take Naz just because I think over the last month, he's been the most consistent and not afraid to keep shooting. You know that guy's going to get his 12, 15 shots a game, a lot of them from distance. And if he's shooting, right now he's up to 36%, which is pretty good considering where he was about a month ago. I think him and Monte will go neck and neck, but I think Naz is that consistent 12 to 18, 19 every single time out. And I think over the long haul he's only, 0.4 behind Morris. As Morris settles in a little bit to that playmaking role, more attention comes to him, then Naz will be left open for some open shots. But I think those three, and then really Thomas and Burton right in there, they're all going to be 11 to 17 pretty much all year.
So you're going to go with Naz?
I'll go Naz just to be different.
I went with Naz at the beginning of the year when I think I was asked that in like a mailbag. I will lean with Jared here, though, just because I'm kind of with him on the maturation of Monte's game. I think that he's going to continue to be asked to do more. I was talking about this too with Ross the other day. He didn't have any turnovers last night, but I think a more aggressive Monte with more turnovers wouldn't even be the worst thing for Iowa State. I think that he's the guy, you know, who can be the George Niang to open up shots for those other guys this year.
His assist to turnover ratio in Big 12 play is 22-1.
Yeah.
So I think he can afford to have one
you
or two
more
turnovers.
You know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah,
if he's a little bit more aggressive, I don't know if that's even a bad thing if he's turning it over two or three times a game, because I think it's going to open up shots for other guys.
You know, it's interesting. He said last night after the game that in the second half, he was pacing himself, which I thought was really interesting because he, at the end of the first half, he looked tired. I think all those guys looked tired. That was a big reason why Oklahoma State made a run late in that first half. But he said, I only went to the basket a couple times in that early second half because I wanted to save some energy. And that'd be the other part of it. He can't go 100% all the time. He's going to wear himself out. He has the ball so much that he's got to have some help. He can be a little more aggressive. I thought last night was the perfect balance. I mean, he only shoots it 16 times, which to score 30 points off that. If you, I mean, not to just be the Monte Morris show, But if you look at his numbers this year, they're actually pretty incredible how consistent he's been. 16 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, and he's shooting at 48% from the floor and 41% from three. I mean, those are, considering how big a part of the offense he is, that is really good. And I looked this up today, boys. In his career now, Monte Morris has 144 turnovers in 3.5 years. To compare that, in 2 years, Jamal Tinsley had 280 turnovers.
What did Mike Taylor have?
And Mike Taylor was also in the twos.
Yeah.
Well, he was only 1 year. Mike Taylor had more turnovers in a year, probably, and I can verify this, I think, than Monte's had in his career.
I can look it up. I've got it right here.
Just the Monte's not even the top 25 in Iowa State's career turnover list. Like, he's been that steady, and he has the ball so much. He doesn't get enough credit from not even Iowa State fans who appreciate him more than anybody because he is just so efficient, and I think the turnover ratio for Iowa State has to be, if not the lowest in the country.
You said 144
for his career.
Okay, so Mike Taylor has the single season record,
right?
168.
Yeah,
and Jamal Tinsley had 156 in 2000.
Think about that. Monte Morris has less turnovers in his career and is trending that way than Mike Taylor will have in 1 year. 1 year. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's something.
Jared will get that point. Can we have a ding, please? Thank you. The next two games for Iowa State are at TCU and versus Kansas, Big Monday, 8 o'clock tip. What's Iowa State's record in those games? And please, Brent, be specific.
Cyclones go 2-0 in those games. So there's your specifics. And I think the game against TCU is close, though. I think it goes right down to the wire. This is going to be in the high 60s. TCU likes to control tempo a little bit. It's kind of a sleepy arena. There'll be some Iowa State fans there. But I think Iowa State pulls it out a lot like they did against Oklahoma State, albeit in a low-scoring game. And then with Kansas coming to town, we've seen now from Monte Morris, when the opposing point guard is more highly thought of than he is, he gets after it. And Frank Mason getting a lot of pub right now. I'm convinced that's one reason why Monte played so well last night, is because Juwan Evans was getting more pub than he was. He's going to be ready to go. Hilton's going to be ready to go. Kansas will probably still be undefeated, and it's going to be an amazing atmosphere. And Kansas gets their first loss, thanks to some quality officiating, too.
Project me 2-point spreads, please.
The point spread on Saturday, I think that's probably a pick 'em straight up. Maybe Iowa State by a point.
Yeah, but Iowa State just for the action.
From the name itself. And then Kansas likely going in undefeated in conference play. I'd say probably 4-4.5-point favorites going into Hilton.
All right, Jared, same question to you.
I was prepared to say 2-0 because I thought Brent was going to say 1-1, but I'm just going to stick with 2-0 anyway because I do think that they are going to win both these games. And I told you this last night that I really thought that they had a chance to beat Kansas on Monday. TCU, they're trending upwards, but I don't think they're there yet. I think that that's a game that Iowa State's going to be able to go in, and they're going to be able to win. And I think that's one of those games where we're really going to see the veteran presence that Iowa State has in their guard core is really going to come into play, because, you know, they can put that pressure on guys like Jalen Fisher, who has not really responded very well to that previously this season. And I see that being a matchup that Iowa State's really going to be able to win. And in TCU's losses this season, the teams that have beat them have been full of senior and junior guards, older junior guards, guys that are really experienced playing at the college level. And that's been one of those deciding factors between them winning some of those games and losing some of them. And then the Kansas one, it just seems like that's a game that Iowa State is, I don't know, it just seems like they're meant to win that one, kind of. The way that the things are setting up for them, the way they're trending upward, you said this after the game against Texas, kind of finding their groove. That seems like one where it's like everybody said, this is going to be the stretch that defines the season or kind of defines the early part of this conference play.
Yeah.
And then they come into Hilton. It's going to be rocking. There's already people out there camping.
Which is insane, by the way.
Yeah, I don't
see. And if you kids are listening, good for you. We appreciate it. But you guys are nuts.
I don't see any way that Iowa State – I see a way, but I think they're going to win both those games. So I don't know. We're kind of on the same thing.
Yeah, but Bloom gets the point, though, because he was the first one to give an opinion. It's to no fault of your own. So Bloom's gotten 2 free points tonight.
They're quality arguments on top of it.
You're doing a nice job. Cyclone Fanatic Radio here on 1460 KXNO. We are at Benchwarmers in Ankeny. where
weather could be a factor Monday, by the way.
Yeah, it could be.
Even Candace getting to town.
Yeah.
It's going to be nasty Sunday.
Yeah, how are they going to land?
Well, I don't know.
Those kids really need to be careful if there's an ice storm this weekend. I'm serious. That's kind of scary.
Their tents could, like, cave in.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
This would be
what would be worse? No, probably the fire would be worse.
Fire is always worse. If there's a comparison, fire is worse.
Bloom leads 2-1. We'll go to you here, Jared. Baylor gave us Bloom our first Baylor moment of the season the other night. They were the number one team in the nation, 7-point underdogs going into West Virginia. That was a very good sign that they were going down. I think everybody knew they would lose.
Went down in classic Baylor.
They were down
fashion.
By like 30 at one point in the game. So let me ask you this, Jared: after starting 14-0, whatever it was, and they're still a quality team, no question about that. What place do they finish in the Big 12 this year?
I'm going to say that they're going to finish in a tie for third.
Okay.
Kansas wins again. West Virginia in second, and then Baylor and Iowa State tied for third somewhere in that like in the 10-8, 11-7, 12-6 range, just in somewhere in that area. I think that they're going to drop a few more games on the road because I don't really believe in their guard core quite yet. And I think that that's one of those big things that you really need to have if you're going to go on the road in the Big 12 and be able to pick up wins. Is, you know, Manny LeCompte has been good, but at the same time they have too many holes, I think, still in that roster to be able to really consistently go on the road and get some wins. So, yeah, I think Baylor's going to finish in a tie with Iowa State for third place.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think if you listen to the Cyclone Fanatic radio show from just a week ago, I think we all said on this show that Baylor's going to be number one, but not for very long. Mm-hmm. And their resume before then made sense why they're number one, but they're not the number one team. They're not even the top ten, in my opinion. I think, third or fourth for them. I still think number three. They're still really good. I mean, that length with Motley and Atul and all those bodies they can throw in that zone is tough to prepare for. But you saw them against West Virginia just melt down in the first half. They had 11 turnovers in the first 6 minutes. That's bad.
Well, the problem I see with Baylor, it's not even controllable by Scott Drew or his team. They don't have that home court advantage that the rest of the league really has. These top-tier teams, when you're talking about Morgantown, Ames, and Lawrence – Waco does not stack up. They're much more capable of losing at home than those other teams are.
Yeah, no, that's true. But they're still a top three team, and I think they've got 1-10 probably more talent than Iowa State. I think they will go back and forth all year. I don't believe in K-State being in that conversation either.
No, God, no.
I think we're starting to see now Texas has issues. I don't think Texas Tech's really with Iowa State and Baylor either.
No, but I think they're a tournament team.
I do, too. I think they're right on that, sixth or seventh in the conference, which will get them in because they had a decent non-conference. But
last year.
You're starting to feel it shape out now where it's – I think West Virginia goes toe-to-toe with Kansas, by the way. In fact
– You said that last week.
On January 12th, I'm saying West Virginia wins the thing, ends the Kansas streak. I think they're that good. West Virginia will not lose at home this year.
Can I put that in print on Twitter?
Yeah, West Virginia's winning the Big 12. They're ending the Now that is with the caveat that teams are not allowed five steps at Allen Fieldhouse.
I think
you're the official.
Well, I know they missed the call. Like that was brutal.
I think the thing with Baylor is there's some teams that are made up well to be able to beat them this year. I mean, even when you think specifically about Iowa State, the thing when you're going up against a zone, you want to be able to move the ball. And getting that zone moving from side to side and not allowing it to really reset is one of the biggest keys. And that gives me some confidence that Iowa State's going to be able to win that game against Hilton or win that game at Hilton.
All right, you're on the record, by the way.
No,
it's on Twitter.
Well, it's going to happen.
The way that Iowa State has moved the ball when they've played at home has really impressed me. So I think they're going to be able to really be able to get the ball moving around, and they're going to be able to counteract that length that way just because they're going to get Baylor into some situations when they're shifting around in that zone, and it's going to create some openings and stuff like that, even though they don't have that guy like George Nyang that you can throw it to in the middle and let him make plays.
Bloom gets the point in the victory tonight. Sorry, Jared.
I think this is the first time that the victory has ever been decided before the fifth question.
You know why, though? Because Bloom gave a take. You know, he came and he picked West
Virginia.
Gave a take?
What? Oh, okay, yeah.
Picking West Virginia to snap the streak. Like, listen, that's That's damn good radio right there. So, Bloom, I don't know if you're right, but you get the win because you went out on a limb and you actually gave an opinion.
That's fine because he got two free points, so let's just keep that in mind.
We're still going to go with point number five. All right, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to change the conversation to football here for just a tiny little bit. Iowa State got a commitment today on the defensive line. Jared's going to tell us about that. And what in the world's going on down in Lawrence? Kansas makes an impressive offensive coordinator hire today. Kansas. I mean, is it time to buy on the Jayhawks?
They lost their quarterback, too.
Yeah, we're going to talk about all that. That's coming up next. We're here at Benchwarmers in Ankeny. I'm going to order me a pizza here when I go to the commercials. Join us back here in a couple minutes on 1460 KXNO.
Admit it. You judge a sports bar on three key criteria: TVs, food, and wings. Consider this our entry into the category for best wings. Ken from Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill here. Our wings are flame-broiled to sear in that juicy flavor. Generously lathered in our signature homemade sauces. Barbecue?
Sure.
Buffalo?
Of course.
But how about garlic jalapeno, sweet bourbon, or Caribbean jerk? To go along with 11 other originals you'll only find at Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill.
You've just been hungerstruck.
Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill, Ankeny.
Hey guys, it's Chris Williams here, wanting to tell you about my friends at Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive. Now, as you all have come to expect over the years, Nebraska Furniture Mart is known for their great prices, awesome leadership, impressive selection when it comes to, you know, appliances, electronics, flooring, window treatments, of course, countertops as well. Well, now they've taken it a step further, offering the whole home solution, and they've got a full line of custom cabinetry. Come out to their store in Clive. Meet the design sales staff to get you that new updated kitchen that you've been looking for. The staff will help you through the entire project from flooring to the cabinets. Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive, your kitchen and bath remodel headquarters. Hey guys, Chris Williams here. When I'm out and about covering the Cyclones, I often get asked about the sweet gear that we have at Cyclone Fanatic. People want to buy it. And let me tell you where we get that gear. Wheeze Tees. Yeah. Anytime I'm looking to get any of our Cyclone Fanatic gear embroidered, a new hat, anything like that, we give them a call. They hook us up. Shirts, jackets, koozies, signs. Wheeze Tees can do it all. Cyclone Fanatic has been using Wheeze Tees for years now. There's nobody else I would trust with our brand, so why wouldn't you? Give them a call at 515-257-7191 or stop by at 306 South Ankeny Boulevard.
Visit Phillips Floors at their huge new 10,000-square-foot Ankeny showroom located at 6263 Northeast Industry Drive, just a couple of minutes west of I-35 on the Corporate Woods exit, or just a few minutes north of I-80 on the Northeast 14th Street exit. Or visit us on the web at www.phillipsfloors.com. Phillips Floors, we stand behind what you stand on.
Every growing season presents new challenges. That's why AgriGold has developed one of the most diverse genetic lineups in the industry. We categorize our hybrids into families, each with its own genetic characteristics and environmental tolerances. This gives AgriGold farmers a simple way to diversify their genetics and manage risk, ensuring they'll be rewarded come harvest no matter what the season throws at them. When it comes to higher yields, no one knows corn like we do. For more information, visit AgriGold.com. At AgriGold, we know corn.
This is Iowa State Athletics Director Jamie Pollard, and you're listening to Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO.
Man, I'm so confused. Welcome back to Cyclone Fanatic Radio here on 1460 KXNO. We're at Benchwarmers in Ankeny, as we are every Thursday from 6 to 7, talking Clones. So Brent Bloom, longtime Cyclone Fanatic columnist, my neighbor, he gave his take that West Virginia will win the Big 12 this year, snapping Kansas's 13-year win streak. And then some, apparently it's a big deal, some Twitter feed picked it up and is mocking him. Is that accurate?
No, it's
what's going on here, Jared?
It's freezing cold takes, old takes exposed.
What
so
does that
when people
mean?
Have bad takes, they bring them up, they resurface them. So that if West Virginia doesn't win, then this will come back. Yeah.
What if Bloom gets credit? Like, does he get credit?
They'll give you credit if you have a good take too. But yeah, that'll come back.
But how did they see that? Because they don't follow me. I'm looking. They don't follow me. Like, did they search like West Virginia Big 12 Kansas streak?
Maybe they saw somebody retweet it. Who retweeted it?
Bloom. Do they follow you, Bloom?
No, I hope not.
I'm just telling you that you're on the line now. Freezing Cold Takes is out there. They've got almost 50,000 followers.
So I'm like Skip Bayless, Stephen A.
Yeah, they always are going after
that
Skip
is
Bayless.
Deplorable.
Yeah.
No, I can't wait. No, when I'm going to be right, then see you guys. I'm going national.
I had a
with my hot takes.
Before we get back to Iowa State, I was watching First Take the other day. I had it on in the background when I was working, and Tebow was on, and I love Tebow. I'm an unabashed
Tebow was on Tebow, First Take.
Tebow fan. It was the day after the title game.
All right.
So they were down there in Tampa. And I was watching him interact with Stephen A. Smith, and I'm thinking, that's genuinely, like, in all of sports media, probably the nicest human being, other than Holly Rowe and Tim Tebow.
Tebow, yeah.
Next to Steve Screamin' A., who you could say a lot about Screamin' A. I don't know if he's a good guy or not. He certainly doesn't appear to be on camera, but whatever.
Yeah, quite the duo.
Yeah. That, you're telling me. I like Kellerman. Kellerman's not bad. I like Max Kellerman.
Yeah, I refuse to watch either of those shows, but
you have it's all that's on now.
I don't watch
like
it.
In the morning, like they you can't would, like watch sports.
I now. Would rather watch the news, and these days that's hard to watch too.
You having First Take on in the background is already more viewers than Skip's show has though, so yeah. it's all good.
No kidding.
There's probably
paid,
some truth.
He's getting
to that.
Paid $5 million though. Come on.
Fox, man, they'll just
Skip
give it up.
Bayless.
They'll just give it up. All right, all right, we'll start with this. Jared, Iowa State gets a football commitment today. Tell us about him. I don't know anything about this. This happened when I was on the air.
It's a three-star defensive tackle, Tucker Robertson. He's from California. He's listed as the number 65 strong side defensive end in the class by 247 Composite, but he's going to play on the interior once he gets to Iowa State. It's interesting because this is a kid that Iowa State kind of had kicked the tires on back in November and December.
Yeah.
Earlier on in the recruiting cycle, and then it seemed like things kind of slowed down. He told me that their communication had gone silent really for the last couple weeks, even through the dead period and stuff like that. He hadn't really talked to him much, and then he got a call from Coach Campbell earlier this week. Coach Campbell kind of reassured him about their interest and reaffirmed that they were interested in having him join the fold. And once he knew that, he said it was a no-brainer.
I got a theory. Yesterday, Carson Green retired from football. There's a freed up scholarship. Did that have anything to do with it?
It could. I'd say that would be a very strong possibility. I still think that the class is going to end up in the range of 24.
Yeah.
So they've got 21 now, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's maybe somebody that leaves the class still before signing day on February 1st. So, yeah, I mean, it's they've got 9 defensive linemen in the class now.
Say,
so I think they if you can't tell what their emphasis is, then you aren't paying attention.
Will they move any of those guys to linebacker? Because I don't know. I don't follow as closely as you.
Probably.
But there just doesn't seem like it'd be a lot of linebackers. Well, they got two of the Dowling kid
if,
and
will Cam White end up being the linebacker?
And that's I think that's the other thing is that he's going to end up
nickel
being
guys,
a lot
guys.
Of, I think you're thinking the other
like
way
an outside
too.
Linebacker.
A lot of those defensive backs are going to be the linebackers.
I got you.
Would be my guess.
Well, and then they've got 4 more defensive backs coming in on visits this weekend. So I mean, it's defensive line and defensive back are really the two positions that they looked at, and they're like, we have to get as many guys at these spots as we possibly can. So this weekend, that'll be something to keep an eye on is the defensive backs.
And if you think about it, who were the linebackers that played this year? I mean, it was really Willie Harvey, Kane Sealy, and Regan Northrop. That's about it. I mean, they don't play many linebackers.
Harvey
with that
and Northrop,
and they already have
okay.
Tymar Sutton as well.
Yeah, they got Sutton.
That was redshirting. I think they feel really good about him. So
I like Northrop and Harvey. I
do
think
too.
They can be okay.
I do too. I think just the style. I mean, we're seeing a little evolution of football in a way where that star position that Payne played, he played kind of a de facto linebacker at times in that nickel spot. So, yeah, I guess it makes sense.
I know that Coach Campbell had said that he's never going to turn down a good secondary player. So that's one of those things.
You can't in this league.
Right. So that's one of those things that they're really putting a big emphasis
with
on.
With less than 4 weeks now remains to signing day, where is Iowa State at from a national ranking? I know it's kind of loose track.
It's number 46 on 247, fifth in the Big 12, but it is at number 30 on Rivals.
Okay. Wow.
They do have 21 commits, though, so they have a lot of commits compared to a lot of other schools right now. So
still would be what, Chris, probably the highest-ranked Iowa State class in recent memory?
Yeah.
What did it end up as last
Absolutely.
Year? Absolutely. It was like 43 50, on
49.
Scouts,
so 49. They just cracked the top 50.
Okay.
And I've been covering recruiting for over a decade now.
Yeah, 12 years.
And I've never – the only – I don't think they – I know in my career they've never been top 50 before last year. So this will be the best one. I want to say, and you're a better resource on this than me, Blue, that McCartney had one that was like 45-ish.
2004 or 2005.
Was that the Carper class?
Yeah, because it was that was the one with all the...
Oh, Meyer Blythe?
No.
Schmeling, that group?
It was the year after, the Jason Scales, it was the running back class. With Scales,
Tyus Thompson.
Tyus Thompson and
Greg
Webster
Coleman.
Patrick. That class was really highly rated. Now, about 75% of them flamed out, but yeah, that class was highly rated at the time. Josh Hart, remember Hargis? Was it Hargis? This was one of my favorite stories from my time at Iowa State, and some of the diehards remember this. Hargis got kicked off the team as a defensive back, JUCO, because there's a guy back in our day that would ride a unicycle around campus.
I remember that guy.
There still is a guy that rides
well,
a unicycle.
Well, maybe it's a relative.
Yeah.
But this guy was riding around his unicycle near the Memorial Union, and Hargis decided to knock him off his unicycle. And it was the last of a long line of Hargis miscues, and they sent him on his way.
That's almost as bad as carrying a stop sign around, that being your third strike.
Yeah, I don't think Hargis ever made it on the defensive line for the Cowboys.
No, true.
Well, that went a direction I didn't think of.
Well, sorry, you decided to bring up Josh Hargis. I mean, you got to do it.
Absolutely. And there's going to be a lot of people listening to this podcast over the weekend who, like the dudes our generation, that are going to go, yes!
That guy.
Dude, there's so much to that class that you're talking about from McCartney.
Oh.
If you ever wanted, we should totally do that, Blue.
Jerry Gare?
Some of the stuff those guys were getting into post-Iowa State.
Yeah, bad news.
Ugh. Anyways, other news out of the Big 12 today. This is bizarre. I've not had time to research it. I fully intend on doing this tonight. Doug Meacham leaving TCU for Kansas to become the offensive coordinator. He was making more. He had to have been, or right in the ballpark, as Kansas' head coach while he's at TCU. You don't know because it's a private school. Bloom, what do you make of this news? What in the world happened?
I don't know for sure, but I've got a couple theories. One, he was the co-offensive coordinator at TCU, along with former Tech quarterback Sonny Cumbie, and kind of didn't really know who's actually calling the plays there. I think it was Meacham, but it may not have been. But to get that title removed, the weird part is, though, Texas went after him hard last year to try and be their offensive coordinator before they hired Sterling Gilbert, and Meacham turned him down. But I think at TCU especially, they didn't have a great year offensively. It was okay. And there's a lot of pressure there. And now you go to Kansas, and I've heard Gary Patterson can be a bear to work under. And he's gone
especially when they go six and seven.
And he's gone through a lot of coordinators in his time, and I just wonder if Meacham was feeling the heat, and that's a pretty soft landing at Kansas, where you can be pretty average for a while and still keep your job. And David Beatty's a Texas guy, so is Meacham, and maybe it just fits that's where he wants to be, felt wanted.
Nobody wants to coach football at Kansas.
Well,
you only coach football at Kansas if you have to.
Yeah, but they're better. I mean, I think it must have been he's getting out the door before he's going to be pushed out the door. I mean, that's the only theory.
That's the one thing I've learned over the last, 13 years of doing this, that coaches are, a lot of times, people go, well, why would Jamie Dixon leave Pitt to go to TCU?
Yeah.
Well, because he knew that if he didn't get, a top three finish in the ACC this year, that he was going to get fired. Because it was classic Tom Davis, Dennis Green syndrome where, going 8-8 and getting to the playoffs isn't that good anymore. Iowa fans were tired of Tom Davis getting them to the first round of the NCAA tournament, getting to the round of 32. They wanted Sweet 16. And that's what was going on. Coaches are constantly thinking about their job security, and if they don't feel like they have it in one position, they're going to go somewhere
else.
Look
at the Auburn offensive coordinator.
Yeah. He went to UConn.
He went to UConn.
Yeah.
Same reason. You got to stay a step ahead. And, Nebraska just fired a defensive coordinator. They had a relationship. And Jared knows about the Huskers better than any of us.
Yeah.
There's just no loyalty anymore in college football, and you got to stay a step ahead. And I think this is what he's doing. I mean, even look at the Iowa State example. Just in recent memory, football-wise, Yancey McKnight takes off to go to Houston. It's considered a step down, but now look at him. Now he's the head strength coach at Texas.
It's because he knew he didn't have security at Iowa State.
Yeah,
he knew that one bad year, Paul Rhodes was going to get fired.
Absolutely. And a lot of those guys from Rhodes' staff took off the year before. It's just that's the way it is. And even McDermott saw the light at the end of the tunnel. He went to Creighton before he got let go at Iowa State, and better move for him too. So Just sometimes you got to make an educated guess there.
I can confirm now that the 2004 class was a top 50 recruiting class.
It was?
By the way.
What was it? Give us some details.
It was 48th, at least by the 247 composite.
Read me some of the guys in that class.
It was 9th best in the Big 12. It was headlined by Brandon Gunn.
Oh, yeah. B. Guns.
From Central Omaha.
B. Guns was from Omaha. Yeah, yep. he was a good dude. He came in as a running.
Wasn't much of a player.
No, but he lived over in the UDCC. I got to know B. Guns real well.
Greg Coleman, Tyese Thompson. Yeah.
Two criminals.
Travis Ferguson.
Hey,
Jason
no, they
Scales.
Were. They're
well,
convicted.
They were, but
they got convicted.
They did.
Fabian Dodd from
Roosevelt.
Central.
Fabian Dodd.
From Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Terrence Highsmith.
Yeah.
Oh, T-High. He was a quarterback. Yeah.
Bobby,
Juco quarterback.
Bobby Chalk. No.
Josh Hargis. There's my guy.
Josh Hargis. Yeah. Adam Carper. Jordan Goose. That's a
I don't remember him. He had to be a walk-on.
This class was strong.
Who else?
Continue
reading this class.
Tim Dobbins.
NFL Tim Dobbins.
Yeah, two-star recruit.
LaMarcus
there.
Hicks.
Mac Kimball from Hartley, Iowa, wherever that is.
I don't remember him.
LaMarcus Hicks.
R.J. Summerall.
R.J. Summerall was a good get.
R.J. is one of the best receivers of all time at Iowa State.
Yeah, some of the names that I actually remember are the guys that are
lower
the lowest
end.
Rated ones. Mike Maine. There's a lot of guys from Iowa here.
There were
ten recruits from Iowa.
He
was the highest
class.
Rated guys in that class all flamed out, though.
They really did. Like, those top five, oh, man, brutal.
That was the class. They had, like, five running backs, though, and everybody was jacked up about them.
Four of the top five guys in that class were running backs.
Let's hope the 2017 class does not have any similarities to 04.
I got one real quick story, then we got a break on that class. So, remember the drama that was the Webster Patrick?
Was he that year or is he the next year?
He started that year, and then he didn't make it to campus.
Tried to get him the next year?
Really funny, like, inside football story here. And I'm not going to name any names or anything like that. But I'm on the phone with Webster Patrick's JUCO coach, who's telling me that Webster just committed to Iowa State. Like, everything. And he's telling me that the name of a certain coach is there.
And
I can hear him in the background, like, whatever. Well, so I report the commitment. I get a phone call from somebody who is not happy that a commitment here has been reported because it's – You guys know how it is. A lot of times,
want to keep it.
There's silent commitments, especially back in the day when we didn't have Twitter. They didn't want it out there because they don't want more competition coming in on the recruit. Happens a lot. I was told by this person who called me that no, that coach is sitting in his office right now. I'm looking at him. So I did some investigative reporting and showed up at the Jacobson building, asked to see
that
coach.
Oh, he's not here.
And they could not turn him up for me. That was one of my favorite stories.
Did Webster Patrick ever show up on campus?
I don't think so.
I don't know if he ever did.
The
great mystery of Webster Patrick.
I can't even find him on this list.
He might have been 05. He might have been 05.
He's not on
well,
the 06.
Well, he definitely existed. He definitely
he was
there.
Big time, man.
Yeah, he was the number one, like, dual threat running or whatever. Yeah, multi-purpose running back. Man, put him in the category of Ivan Chiriev, long-lost Cyclone commits.
Oh, I love it. All right, we'll look ahead to this weekend in Big 12 basketball next here at Cyclone Fanatic Radio. We're at Benchwarmers in Ankeny here on 1460 KXNO.
Hey, guys, it's Chris Williams here wanting to tell you about my friends at Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive. Now, as you all have come to expect over the years, Nebraska Furniture Mart is known for their great prices, awesome leadership, impressive selection when it comes to, you know, appliances, electronics, flooring, window treatments, of course, countertops as well. Well, now they've taken it a step further, offering the whole home solution, and they've got a full line of custom cabinetry. Come out to their store in Clive. Meet the design sales staff to get you that new updated kitchen that you've been looking for. The staff will help you through the entire project from flooring to the cabinets. Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive, your kitchen and bath remodel headquarters.
Don't let an injury keep you out of the game. Trust the McFarland Orthopedic Surgeons and Sports Medicine Professionals who care for area high school and collegiate athletes. McFarland Clinic physicians Buck, Greenwald, and Warmy are board certified and fellowship trained in providing the latest surgical and rehab treatment for sports-related injuries. Call 515-239-4475 for more information.
Cyclone Fanatics, the job world is a competitive place, and at all times you need to dress for success. This is exactly why you should stop into Mr. B Clothing down at 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive and see my buddy Tim Sitzman. Now, Mr. B Clothing is a longtime supporter of CycloneFanatic.com, but is also unmatched when it comes to the men's clothing game in Des Moines. The Mr. B staff is friendly, fun, they're very knowledgeable, and trust me, these guys will get you looking good for that next job interview, wedding, or just your everyday wardrobe. When you stop into Mr. B Clothing, be sure to tell them thank you for supporting CycloneFanatic.com.
Hi, this is Adam Gray with Cyclone Fanatic. When it's time to purchase or refinance your home, call Gershon Mortgage. My family and I recently used Gershon Mortgage when purchasing a new house, and I couldn't be happier with their service. Gershon's knowledge, experience, unmatched service, and low rates will make a positive difference for you as it has for over three generations. Call 515-964-5952 or visit GershonIA.com. Gershon Mortgage, 1200 Southwest Street, Suite 2C, Ankeny, Iowa. They're an equal housing lender, NMLS number 138063.
You know we've got the wing and burger game down, but if you haven't yet tried our Thunder Pie pizzas from Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill,
you're missing out.
Ken here, thick and chewy crust, absolutely loaded with an eye-popping,
taste bud intimidating
amount of toppings and ooey gooey cheese. Our Thunder Pies check in at about 5 pounds each.
We rock it then too.
Don't settle for frozen.
Don't settle for bland.
Thunder Pies at Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill.
You just been Thunderstruck.
Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill, Ankeny.
Every growing season presents new challenges. That's why AgriGold has developed one of the most diverse genetic lineups in the industry. We categorize our hybrids into families, each with its own genetic characteristics and environmental tolerances. This gives AgriGold farmers a simple way to diversify their genetics and manage risk, ensuring they'll be rewarded come harvest no matter what the season throws at them. When it comes to higher yields, no one knows corn like we do. For more information, visit AgriGold.com. At AgriGold, we know corn.
Your home for Iowa State women's basketball is right here. This is head coach Bill Fenley on Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO.
The home stretch of Cyclone Fanatic Radio tonight here at Benchwarmers in Ankeny. We're going to talk about this weekend in the Big 12, where Iowa State will look to go 2-0 on its road trip. Before we do that, Cyclone Jerry has been patiently waiting on hold, and Jerry, welcome to the program. It's been a while. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fine. Is this Brent or Chris?
This is Chris. Brent is here as well.
Okay, I wanted to talk to Brent first, and then I'll come back and talk to you.
Okay, what do you got for Brent?
Brent, you're
yes?
a genius. You see things the same way as I see them, and there are certain people tells me the Cyclone Jerry says, every win, every time you go on the field, you win and everything. And you know who I'm talking about. the two
yep.
boys that work in the afternoon. And I just like the way you put it out there. They're going to take care of TCU and Kansas. It would make a happy new year for me, because I cannot stand Bill Self. That's miserable. Everybody
okay.
always says that Bill Snyder's worse, but I think Bill Snyder has got more intelligence than Bill Self will ever have.
Why don't you like Bill Self? Seems like a good guy. Just because they're good?
Oh, he threw a fit and had to have his 500th victory, and I've had several Kansas people said that he pays the referees. They know.
No.
Jeez. The media needs to look into that.
Look into that, Chris.
All right, what do you got for me, Jerry?
Well, Chris, you know, don't pick on my boy, Brent. I met you guys when he was back at KSI, and just because Brent's shorter, that means he's more intelligent. And have they ever sit down and tell you about that?
Jerry, Brent's like my brother. I'm not picking on him. It's all out of love. We love
I'm a lot smarter anyway, Jerry. I know that.
Not all of us can be blessed with the brains of Cyclone Jerry and Brent Bloom. I'm sorry. I do my best.
Well, you got to get those us, because we are the power of the air.
You are the power of the air. Jerry, thank you for your call.
Good to talk to you, Jerry.
Enjoy the game this weekend, all right?
You guys have a good weekend, and Chris Room is right again. Chris, don't cry. Just admit
hear that.
The fact. Brent Broom is the man who can call the shot, like Cyclone Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry. We're going to put that into a promo.
Okay.
Have a good one.
I mean,
yep.
If that's not an endorsement, Bloom, for you, I don't know what is.
You know.
That might have been the best 5 minutes of the Cyclone Fanatic radio show ever.
We've had some pretty good times in the past, the old days with Tron, but, you know, Jerry calling it, you guys do think a lot alike, you and Jerry.
Sean, I'm going to need you to grab that audio.
I already told him.
Okay, I was going to say.
I already told him on chat. We've got that.
I've had a big day today.
Why? What else happened?
Well, I picked up my freezing cold takes on Twitter. And now, not just an endorsement, but a strong endorsement from Cyclone Jerry. Man, I'm calling
it
a week.
Where do we even go with the rest of the show now?
I'm calling it a week.
I mean, if I knew we had, like, spots to fill, I would just end the show right now. Like George Costanza, you just end on a high note. Showmanship. But we've got 5 minutes to fill, so we're going to go through the Big 12 schedule for this weekend.
Webster Patrick was brought up today. I mean, this has been an all-timer.
Josh Hargis. B. Guns.
Wow. It's no mystery that this is a very highly rated time slot.
I got a question for you. Why does the Big 12 keep scheduling all its crappy games on Saturdays?
What are you talking about?
It's not
number one Baylor versus tied for number 25 Kansas State.
That's the best game.
Where's that at?
It's in Manhattan.
That's a good game. That's intriguing.
But the rest of them, so OSU at Kansas. Oklahoma State, regardless of what we think of them, is 0-4 in the league. Mm-hmm. West Virginia is at Texas.
Yeah, without Tevin Mack.
Without Mack, West Virginia is a 10-point favorite.
I think, you know, I'm going to – can I stay on my West Virginia Bobby Huggins bandwagon here? Make another wild prediction?
Yeah, please.
They are, what, 3-1 right now? Check this out. At Texas, win probably.
Yeah, I give them a win.
Oklahoma at home.
Win.
At K-State.
You could always lose in the Octagon, sure. But they're a 5-point favorite at least.
Kansas at home.
Their favorite.
That's a win. Yeah.
And A&M at home.
When?
They A&M. Walk into Hilton Coliseum on
number
January
one.
31st. I mean,
they could be number one.
They could
one.
Be number one in the nation.
If they
at
went
that
out
point.
Until they, then, they could be
then
number
one. Then they're 4, 5, 6, 7, 7-1 in the Big 12, walking into Hilton on January 31st. That's going to be a big-time game. I think that's a big Monday, January 31st. So circle that one as well. Start camping out for that after your Kansas game, kids.
Yeah. Do they camp out for a number one West Virginia?
I don't know. I mean, I
or is
would.
It just because it's Kansas?
Mm.
If they're real fans, they'll do it for West Virginia.
Correct, but I'm wondering now. I mean, if you got the intelligence to camp out in freezing cold weather, then I don't know if you really know basketball.
I might camp out outside the media entrance just to see Bob Huggins.
Just to see Hugs?
Yeah.
I can't know. You really should do is camp out at
I had lunch with Huggins that one time.
Westtown Pub. It was a better idea.
It was me, Fred, Scott Drew, Lon Kruger, Huggins, and I believe Travis Hines was with me, all at one table.
Travis Hines will look like Bob Huggins in 35 years.
I'm waiting for Scott Drew to come so that I can make my commitment.
Is Scott Drew not the greatest?
Yeah.
What a dandy that guy is. I just love him.
I can't believe they turned the ball over 29 times against West Virginia.
Oh.
29 times.
That system, man. Press Virginia.
Okay, then Baylor at Kansas State. I'll go on. I'm not a believer in Kansas State. Baylor wins that game.
What time is that one?
3:30.
Okay. And Iowa State's 4:30.
And what in the world is Iowa State on, like, Fox Sports Southwest?
Yeah, no, good point. So this, check your listings. It's their Tier 3 game. It's not on an ESPN network. It will be on, though, Fox Sports Midwest locally.
Oh, okay.
So, Fox
so most
Sports
bars should be able to get it.
Right, but they got it. You got to know where it's on. So, honestly, people, check your TV. It should be on Fox Sports Midwest if you get that channel.
What? So, why is that? That is that like the only Big 12 game that's not on ESPN?
For some reason, there was a conflict where they had too much inventory that day, and so that's the one that got bumped.
What the heck?
I don't know.
Huh.
I don't know.
That's not even a terrible game. Like, there's way worse games in the Big 12 than that.
Definitely.
So, probably should tweet that out, too, as a PSA for folks.
Yeah, we may do that.
Or you could probably watch it at bench warm.
Or we're just going to let them scramble on Saturday and
have a million tweets coming into us. Oh, what channel's the game on? It's 2017 and we can't watch the darn game. Hey, yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. It's a fun show. Bench Warmers in Ankeny, we love you. We love 1460 KXNO. We'll be back next week. Morning Rush tomorrow at 6.